See, in that bit, I was Lassie.
What's that? David Tennant's trapped in a well. And he's regenerating. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I do not know a lot about Doctor Who.
And it's time for another series finale, sort of.
Hooray.
Because after this, there isn't a proper season. There's a series of specials. But this is the end of series four as it aired on BBC.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is The Stolen Earth and Journey's End. And I will be a little upfront with you. There will be a chunk of this where you might be a little confused. And it's because the story dovetails the three Doctor Who shows that were going on at the time. You've already seen it once in the last episode.
Yeah.
With Turn Left. But this time you fully go to the sets of the other two shows. You meet the characters from those other two shows. So if you're like, these characters seem like they're being way more familiar with each other than I'm familiar with them, it's because they've had a season of television each to go to go together. So the Sarah Jane Adventures and Torchwood both show up here. You do know Elizabeth Sladen playing Sarah Jane Smith. You know John Barrowman playing Jack Harkness. I will tell you, this story brings in every main character the show has had. So we have,
well, all right.
We have the Doctor, we have Rose, we have Martha, we have Donna, we have Sarah Jane, we have Mickey, we have Captain Jack.
Spoilers?
I say it's a spoiler. They're in the opening credits, so you'll know immediately that it's happening.
Yeah, if I'm paying attention to those.
It's also relevant for the Cassie Profassi today.
Okay.
Or at least one of the two questions for it, because if you've been paying attention, there has not been a Dalek story this season yet.
I have certainly been paying attention. Zach.
Yes, of course you've noticed it's not a Dalek story yet, but that's because it is a Dalek finale.
Oh boy, hooray!
And I will tell you, one of our main characters in this story gets shot by a Dalek.
Oh no.
One of them gets exterminated.
Oh no.
So the first Casper Fassi is for you to guess which of them gets exterminated.
Yikeroonies. Oh no.
So I did run through all of them before. I can run through them again if you would like.
Oh no. So I know it's not the Doctor. Oh well, it might be. He could always come back. Well, because the Daleks' extermination is like super permanent.
I mean, it does turn them all. It briefly lets you see their skeleton.
The only thing that I could think of is if the Doctor, or since we have a TARDIS, we can technically go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling that probably isn't going to happen.
I mean, it's entirely up to you what happens. So, like I said, we have the Doctor, we have Rose, we have Martha, we have Donna, we also have Mickey, Sarah Jane, Captain Jack. And I will tell you, it's not any of their supporting cast. Like supporting cast from Sarah Jane Adventures and Torchwood do show up. I will just let you know, it's not one of them. But this isn't a trick question where it's someone that you don't know.
It is one of the people that you've listed.
Yes, it is one of the people that show up in the title credits of the show.
Do I get any other?
I mean, I feel like narrowing it down to,
well, not hint necessarily, but just like the context for like what is happening in that, because
I mean,
Daleks shooting up.
Here's the thing. There's not really much context for it. This character is just running and the Dalek shoots them.
So they're running.
Yeah. So you've established that it's not any of them that are in a wheelchair, which is none of them. So
yeah. Ableist. Well, I just get the feeling that it's going to be Donna, because we've heard a lot of, like, especially most recently, that Donna is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, isn't it? I don't die. If I change things, I don't die. That's That's right, isn't it?
Sorry.
And that most people from the Doctor's like future don't seem to know of her alive.
Okay.
So based off of that circumstantial evidence.
Okay.
I will venture a guess that it's Donna.
So
it's Donna date.
All right. So Cassie's prophecy is that a Dalek will exterminate Donna. And for the second part of the prophecy today, I've decided to pick something maybe a little more lighthearted for you. In this story, we see Daleks in other parts of the world.
Uh-huh.
And I would like for you to guess for me what changes about a Dalek when they go to Germany.
They can sing now. How scary is that? Daleks that can sing? Anyways.
Is that your actual guess that Daleks can sing now?
I mean, it's not my guess. I assume that you will.
I will play the actual song.
It depends on how good it sounds.
Yeah.
What changes about the Daleks when they go to Germany? No. They all get matching armbands. They get little mustaches.
Little hats they all wear.
Oh, my God. Teeny tiny hats.
They look at each other. Are we the baddies?
Ich bin ein Dalek. Wasser und Milch. Can you tell that part of my Duolingos have been German?
German Daleks.
Kaffee und Milch. Jokes out of the room. Do the Daleks sing? Do they each get matching mustaches? Do they all, are they all part of a Dalek Aryan race?
I mean, that's sort of their thing already anyway.
Well, yeah, but there is, I mean, like, we've seen copper Daleks mm-hmm. and then some that are solid black.
Fair enough.
So I would not put it past them to be like, copper Daleks are superior Dalek.
Oh, so you think that they like change carapace? Like, or I guess carapace might be the best word for it. They're like,
I think that that's the only silly answer I've said that isn't absolute garbage.
Okay. All right. So is that what you're locking in?
I don't know what else would change about Daleks.
All right, then. Well,
other than what we've already seen
mm-hmm.
with the oh, no, they all turn into Werner Herzog. I go on.
Oh, no, I was just you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Hello, we are here to conquer. We are going to exterminate you. It is okay, though. You will simply become one with the void, which you are already hurtling towards in your meager existence of a life anyway.
Yeah, see? So they could all become gross human doll. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Can I ask for a refresher for when we last... What... was Dalek when we last left Dalek?
I believe the last Dalek we saw was Daleks in Manhattan. Dalek Sek had turned into a human Dalek hybrid, and the other Daleks turned on him because he wanted more human in the Daleks, and they didn't like that. The Doctor managed to stop three of them, but Dalek Khan escaped.
Oh my God. Hear me out. In replicating more Dalek, mm-hmm. each time they replicate, they get a little bit smaller. So we just have...
tiny Dalek!
Exactly. I like that the laugh started tiny.
It's a tiny holic. Ha-holic.
Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely think that the best answer I've come up with is that they change their carapace, as you said.
Okay. All right, then. So the locked in Cassie Brafassies for the day are that Donna will be shot by a Dalek and that in Germany, Daleks change their clothes.
I mean, what else is there?
Well, I guess we'll find out. This isn't necessarily for Cassie Brafassie points, but I am just curious about your thoughts right now on some things that have been laid out over the course of this story.
Yeah, come at me, bro.
Where do you think the bees have gone?
Dalek.
You think the tiny Dalek is exterminating the bees?
Nano Dalek ate it all the bees.
You will not pollen us.
Yeah. I am indulging in some Futurama logic where, you know, the episode where Bender like replicates himself, but each time he does, he gets like 20% smaller.
It's been a while since I've watched that one, but yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, we watched all of them together.
Yeah, we did.
I'm not saying that the show is excused from stupid logic like that. I don't know that they would engage in it this early on. But otherwise, where are the bees?
Yeah.
Well, because that's always something that is an ongoing conversation of if the bees / if pollinators became extinct, the human race would die. The whole planet would die very quick.
Or it would have to make some serious adaptations. Yeah.
Which is why, like, hydroponics is a good-ish solution. It's nasty. Mm-hmm. Have you ever eaten hydroponic fruit?
Can't think of it.
I bought some strawberries. They were from Costco that were grown using hydroponics. Turns out you need the sun to make things delicious.
No.
Yeah, they were not good.
Oh, no.
They were just very, like, they were very textbook strawberry. They were not sweet in the same way. They did not get that nice.
If a Dalek designed a strawberry.
Kind of, yeah. It was just like the idea of a strawberry, both in look and flavor. So I can imagine that the bees going missing have something to do with control or total annihilation.
Okay. And in that same vein, we've also heard a lot of moments about planets disappearing. Like we had Pyrovilia leave. There was the adipose nursing planet. That one was gone. Like, a lot of stories in this one have mentioned planets that have disappeared. Do you have any thoughts as to who might be behind that? Again, not a Cassie Professor point, so no pressure. I'm just curious if you have
the bees ate the planet. The bees became really big, and they're,
as the Daleks get smaller, the bees get bigger.
Yes. They're pollinating planets with other planets. Planets go on vacation. They are on strike. Why do things go missing? God put them in a different spot in the sky and forgot where they put them. And so now the planets are just kind of all over the place. They're not in their usual landing zones.
Well, why don't we find some answers to those questions as we watch The Stolen Earth? We'll be right back after this message. This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by The Suspense Before a Jump Scare. And we are back from The Stolen Earth.
Lots of thoughts.
Lots of thoughts. Okay.
Tumblr girlies must have been going absolutely nuts.
God, I'm, like, you and I have the satisfaction of we're going to watch this, the second part of this, in like 10 minutes. They had to wait a week.
I am just, I can hear it now. Just the chorus across Great Britain of to be continued.
Run away.
It was me sitting here the entire time going, God, Rose is so pretty. Go to her. Run. Go. Never mind.
Yeah, as soon as you saw the Dalek wheel, and I feel like you I feel like you heard my question repeat to you.
And I did. In that moment, I think you could read it on my face, too.
Mm-hmm. And I also heard you, start to think it was going to be Rose. You really didn't think it was going to be the Doctor, and then it was.
Well, because I feel like I have very good reasoning for saying Donna.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely think you have great. I think you have great reason for saying Donna.
So I do still stand by that. I am mad that I said the Doctor and then went, because that happens usually. Yeah,
because even in the episode, they say the Doctor's most faithful companion will die. And so that could mean that could mean Rose or Donna. It doesn't really mean Martha will. Martha chose to leave. So I could see that prophecy not really applying. Yeah. But Donna is his current companion.
Rose literally bent time and space.
Yeah. The Doctor had to burn up a sun just for him to spend a few more minutes with her.
I really wish I could communicate via podcast how delighted I am at which Dalek?
Oh, Dalek Khan?
Dalek Khan kicking his little feet.
Somebody will die.
I can see it now.
Eternal death for the Doctor's most faithful companion.
I have dove through fire, died 1,000 times.
So you just hear the little like... of his little tentacles flipping all around.
The little mouth sounds being made by everything but his mouth.
Yeah, his little tentacles just going nuts.
Yeah, I had really tried to hold on to the secret of Davros. I thought that would be such a fun reveal for you, especially because keep in mind, when I first watched this episode, I had no idea who Davros was. So for me,
I knew more going into this episode than you did going into this episode.
Yeah, because I had no interest in the classic series until well into Matt Smith's run. That wasn't necessarily like the fault of the show. When I had started watching was early into Matt Smith's tenure. And so I was just watching the show as it was presented to me at the time. And later on, I dug through all this other stuff. But yeah, I had no context for Davros at the time. And so it was really, for me, it was interesting, but in like a who the fuck is this guy kind of way. For you, I got to see a whole other experience where you were just like, what?
I had the same experience as literally everybody else in the show where they all went, oh fuck.
Yeah, well, Sarah Jane specifically, you remember her going, but you're dead.
Yeah, I do like the angle of having a companion from different Doctor eras. Mm-hmm. I think that that's really fun.
Yeah.
Because you do have somebody like Sarah Jane who knows way more. But then you have somebody like Jack who knows way more of like future stuffs.
Yeah. It's a neat little like they really utilize. This is part of why I was saying I wish they would do more things like they would still be able to use classic Doctors, even if you're casting their children or recasting them. It's just you utilize. That's when you're using your full toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
Where the show feels really cool like this. Like this is why I love the show, no other show can do this.
This episode in particular is very riveting.
Yeah.
Even down to like their music, I just wrote down, oh, exciting. Well, because it's implementing not just the usual like music concrete that Delia had, which is, I know that as the show has aged, that there is more orchestration and there is less found sound spliced together. Mm-hmm. But there was also lots of like exotic instruments being used.
Yeah, Murray Gold really is like found his stride, and Murray Gold, the composer for the show, only gets stronger. Like
Murray Gold was asleep the entire season, just on autopilot until they said go all in, and he went
I wouldn't say that he was asleep. He just I don't think he found his, I think he, like I said, I think he just found his stride. Like there's a part of it where he just like really felt like he could put his whole pussy into it.
Whoa.
His whole musicish.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Dropping the P word like that.
On this, this is a family show.
Yeah. Zach. Jeez Louise. That's why I say words like jeez Louise.
Yeah, the Murray Gold's definitely killing it. And then they even bring back Harriet Jones, which I'm sure you thought you'd never see her again.
I went redemption arc for Harriet Jones.
Yes.
And yes, redemption arc for Harriet Jones.
Yeah. She was one reason why I wanted to be clear. I was not asking you a trick question when I said one of the main characters gets shot, because I remembered that she got shot. I didn't want you to think that I was obfuscating an important character, because I can absolutely foresee you thinking she is never coming back.
No.
I mean, she isn't now. She's been exterminated.
Yeah, and apparently her computer, too.
Yeah.
The Daleks really went, fuck
this. We only need one gun to kill you, so I'm going to use mine to shoot your computer.
There are three of us and only one of you, so I will get the computer. Go ahead.
I really like that little beat they have for Harriet Jones, though, where she keeps introducing herself as Harriet Jones, former prime minister. And no matter who she's talking to, it's always, yes, we know who you are. Even the Daleks.
Harriet Jones, former prime minister.
Yes, we know who you are.
It's a good bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too much into the plot for this one. I feel like we could talk more about that in the second part, but I will admit I fucked up with my notes here. And one of the prophecies I wrote down is for the next episode, not for this one. The Daleks in Germany is in part two. I am sorry. So you'll find out about that point
soon.
Do
I just get a point then? Can I just...
I was thinking I could just ask you two other questions for this one.
Can you allocate... Or do you have two other questions? Because that's
I always write a few questions for any given episode in case you don't like the question I ask you.
Okay.
So I do have two other questions here for you.
Okay. Well, I still think I'm correct in that Dalek did change his clothes.
Supreme Dalek. You can tell I am supreme by how deep my voice is.
Oh fuck, red one.
All right, so let's maybe do the Cassie Professy for the next part here.
Proceed.
As you can see, coming up here with the specials, David Tennant keeps going.
Yeah, and even into the future, David Tennant keeps going.
So the first Cassie Professy is, how's David Tennant going to get out of this one, Cassie?
It has to do with the hand.
Has to do with the hand?
It has to. They keep showing that fucking hand to the point where when everything, this shit's hitting the fan, the music's going absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. They showed that stupid hand one more time and I went, I swear to God, if that hand flings itself out of the jar and gives a glowing Davy Tenny Docky hand a high five, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to leave the house.
The fucked up thing about this is David Tennant had not announced his departure yet. I had looked this up when I was taking my notes.
Okay.
David Tennant didn't announce his departure until after this season finale, but before the next special.
Okay.
So nobody had any reason to expect this yet.
So them writing things in the show about like, oh, the doc, like you will die.
Yeah.
And then him being like, please.
Now, the show might have known that.
That's what I mean, is that if they wrote that into the show being cheeky,
the general
public did not know that.
Yeah, the general public wouldn't have known that. Did not know that David Tennant, that this would be his last full season. You could imagine the shock of that to someone who has no idea what's about to happen. Tell you what, for the sake of making it fair, I will accept the answer. It has something to do with the hand.
Thank you. That's my answer. Is that it has something to do with that
the
damn
answer
hand.
Is hand stuff.
Yeah.
Over the pants. Over the pants hand stuff.
Yeah. How does he get out of this one? Hand stuff.
He
gets a little handsy.
He gets a helping hand.
Yeah.
I will accept that answer.
Docky who receives a helping
just
hand.
For the sake of, because I feel like if I had to make you guess anything more specific, that would be unfair. I will accept. Yeah. I will accept hand stuff as an answer.
Okay.
And then for the second part of the Cassie Professy for this episode, you've heard Martha mention of an Osterhagen key.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Why don't you tell me what the fuck?
What the fuck? It's a floppy disk.
What is the Osterhagen key to?
Well, because I'm such an expert in German, I can tell you that Osterhagen means Cassie does not know. I can ask for Wasser und Milch.
Well, Osterhagen is just like a name. It's not a really a German word. So knowing the word wouldn't have given you any kind of clue. This is more just, what do you think? Like, they've clearly established this as
and the
push in case of emergency button, for lack of a better
word. And Harriet did not like it.
Yeah, so you got that detail. So what sort of, what?
Harriet might have known about that when she was more evil. So it might
have when she was prime minister.
Yeah, when she was evil. We can say prinisters are evil.
When she was the prime evil.
I need you to understand. I just said prinisters.
So with those pieces of context, what do you think the Osterhagen key might do?
A floppy disk.
You think it just is a floppy disk?
Sure.
Well, I'm more asking like what...
A kill code. Like
A kill code to what?
Indigo. No.
Indigo is the name of her teleportation backpack.
Indigo. Is it because it's blue?
I think so, yeah.
Like the TARDIS.
You know, I would expect that's probably why they gave it the name, yeah.
Because them calling it Azul is a little bit more on the nose, ironically enough. Osterhagen.
We must turn the Osterhagen key.
Oh, hey, Zach, can you please let our audience know what Tiny Dalek a la Werner Herzog is?
Tiny, didn't I do that for the...
No, oh. You did Werner Herzog and Tiny Dalek. Now, what happens when Werner Herzog is a Tiny Dalek? Go.
I would like to exterminate the baby.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, we did get more of the... It's frustrating because I feel like I've seen the answer already and I'm just playing dumb and I...
Like the answer is somewhere floating around your head in a little word cloud.
The answer is the answer. The answer is something I have seen before on the show. I believe that.
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay. Well, then this is bullshit.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of letting you just play with the context clues of what would be something a world leader like a prime minister would know about, but would not want them to ever, what lever would they not want them to pull? Because I'll tell you, you're on the right track with the kill code. I just figured I would let you.
But kill code for what is?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be proud of myself if I just wrote kill code.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what would help them in the situation where the planet itself has been removed from the atmosphere?
I don't know. I've never been in this situation, Zach. I don't know.
You just have flat out no idea. Okay. I mean, we can just.
Yeah, I don't. And I'm just going to start getting angry here because I know that I didn't get a point for because Donna wasn't shot. Dalek doesn't change his clothes. I'm probably going to get a pity point for hand stuff. And a half a point in the cum bucket for kill code.
Well, do you want to stop with the half point then and we'll call that?
Sure.
All right.
Because it's also getting late and this episode is an hour and it is already 8:30.
A lot of it's cut off because the credits are just super long. So
even still, it's still an hour 10. Yeah, so even if the credits are cut, it's still an hour.
Yeah. All right. Well, so Cassie has forsaken her point in exchange for getting a half point that will go in the point jar. And so for now, we will find out if the doctor rescues himself with the power of five fingers.
Yeah, five digit.
Little fingies. And we'll find out if those fingies come to the rescue as we watch Journey's End. And we are back from Journey's End, Journey's End, Journey's End, Journey's End, Journey's End, Journey's End, Journey's End.
Affirmative.
God, the way I've been holding just that little 10-second nugget of canine in my back pocket.
All I needed. I'm okay now.
Which is good because this episode is traumatizing.
It's got a lot.
There's a lot going on here. So just tell me off the bat, what do you think about this story? Especially in comparison to the other finales we've had, because this is the last season finale he gets. He gets one more finale to wrap up Tenet, but this is Russell the Davies' last season finale.
It's tough to say. And what I mean by that is I do There is something I like about Davros calling out the doctor on all of his stuff.
Yeah, this specifically, I think you were talking about the moment where he points out that all of his companions were willing to be killers. And like, not just like kind of, they were all willing to commit mass-scale murder.
Martha was going to blow up the planet.
Yes, Jack was willing to blow up the entire ship they were on. And with Jack was also Jackie and Mickey and
Sarah.
And Sarah Jane. Yeah, so, you know, that's all of them. While they're doing that, Donna and the Metacrisis Doctor are designing a gun, an anti-Dalek gun.
Well, yeah, the Doctor part two.
Yeah.
And Donna.
For the sake of, I don't know what we want to call him. We can call him MCD maybe for short, McD. Because the official term for him is the Metacrisis Doctor, because he is a Metacrisis between Doctor and Donna.
I mean, I do like the name Doctor Doctor.
Doctor Doctor?
Yeah. Well, because then we have Doctor, and then we have Dr. Donna, Dr. Doctor.
Doctor Squared. But yeah, I feel like this is probably, in my opinion, I think this is his strongest finale of the ones we've seen.
I agree.
And also, honestly, knowing the one he writes later, this is also still the strongest finale we've seen of that one, too.
It's something that it's been kind of like an ongoing conversation I've been having, admittedly with myself, about crossovers in such a large scale. Specifically, only tangentially related to this, what is your favorite Marvel movie and what's your favorite comfort Marvel movie? And as I've been thinking about that, I remember seeing Endgame. I think I saw Endgame 4 times in theaters.
Yeah, because you specifically wanted
it came out.
Well, because you had specifically wanted to see Endgame in theaters more times than I had seen the original Avengers in theaters.
That was part of it. And also, like, there was something about it I really, really loved. And it feels very much like this, where it's like there are so many things coming together that work really well all together. It's not my favorite thing when so many things cross over and you do have this big sticky mess of just characters you remember, situations, sets.
Especially for you who hasn't seen two of the shows that are being crossed over here.
No, and so there was something kind of fun for me to be like, oh, I understand now what you mean by the Sarah Jane Adventures is more geared towards children. Because you can see that in the physical set.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a clubhouse. It looked like the Spy Kids room.
And also when they're like, I've been wanting to talk to you, but you have too many guns.
Yeah.
When she says that to Jack.
Yeah, well, I've been staying away from you lot. Too many guns.
And, you know, but then you flip over to Torchwood. And there is still something about that set that still feels very doctor-y, but is its own thing. It was the specificity of the rolling door. Something about that. I was like, ah, okay. This is its own. It's its own thing. We haven't seen rolling doors like this.
I feel like it feels almost militaristic. Like it feels like I know submarines don't really have that. They have like swinging doors, but there's something about it that feels very like Star Trek or.
Oh, it's not necessary. It's very Disney full immersion.
Yeah.
I do like that everything worked together. You know, we have all of these elements coming together and people helping each other out. People that haven't necessarily met each other, but recognize like, ah, you are one of the Doctor's people. I immediately trust you with my whole life and everything.
It's also really nice because it really feels like almost like a victory lap in a way.
Like
especially for the writers who are like, look at all these characters that we've made that you love.
It was also the fact that there was only a handful of times where I went, this feels a little silly.
Yeah, well, they did a very good job of weaving them together where they weren't just there. They were important.
Well, because everybody had their own thing that they were doing, too. Yeah. Like, yes, they all have to do with the same big, bad, evil guy. But each thing is dealing with that in their own way. And some of those methods conflict with others, which I love a conflicting method.
Mm-hmm.
And I love individuals and characters and people that are doing what they are told because they are responding to their own, you know, their own commander.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I that's one of my biggest like grievances in certain film media and just in even some books where a character immediately goes soft when it comes to something that is like, oh, well, I'm going to divert my attention to this person now because they're here. Like Martha's saying, I'm going to go ahead and I've been told to initiate the kill code. So, and this feels like a crisis. So I'm just going to get that started.
Yeah, I'm going to get through steps like 1 through 4, but I'm going to talk to the doctor before I do step 5. But I'm not pacing around waiting for me to go through steps 1 through 4. I'm just not going to hit the button until I mm-hmm. know for sure what we're doing.
And there's something about that really feels like this is a character driven choice.
Yeah,
this isn't a doctor driven choice. This is specifically a Martha Jones choice.
Yeah.
And it was really nice that each character was given a choice like that and given opportunities and moments where they had to make choices.
Yeah. And it's really impressive how it manages to have all of these characters going on in a way that's not confusing.
No. And a lot of that is also just the pacing of this episode. The pacing of these two episodes together was very good.
Yeah.
This one was 1 hour and 4 minutes. The one previous to it is 46 minutes. So 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Yep.
Give or take some time for credits and, you know, but even still, we'll say 1.5 hours. That's a full on movie.
Yeah. And it certainly feels like it. It's certainly like of the stories we've seen so far, this one feels the most like a movie specifically.
This one is the most edible.
Most edible.
Yeah. Like my notes for there are three notes in my in. I have three notes for this episode, this past episode alone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of which is nothing else matters. We got canine.
That, I will say that is one really smart way they handled things was once the peripheral characters from Sarah Jane Adventures and Torchwood were not needed, they just let them go. They didn't feel the need to keep coming back to them until the very end where they were going to tie it all together.
Well,
and they
especially
also
since
sprinkled in the little canine there, too.
Yeah. Well, because Iota and Gwen are trapped in a time bubble. They are prepared to defend themselves against Dalek.
Yeah.
And the bullets stop. And they
all
go
Matrix style.
Yeah. And they go, oh, whoever so-and-so said that they were working on a time bubble. I didn't think they got it working. So I guess we're stuck here. Yup. That you are. You can't help with the plot any more than this. Goodbye. And, you know, Sarah Jane's son, she instructs her child to stay there. Don't go outside. Just stay here. And he does, because he is a good boy.
You know who else is a good boy?
Canine.
Canine's also a good boy.
Oh my God, affirmative.
God, I've been sitting on that for so long. Oh man, that made me happy. Okay. God, where do I want to start with this? I got so many
notes. We could start at the top and then work our way.
Oh yeah, so one of the first things I pointed out, so going through the story of the episodes themselves, Maybe before even the story, the opening credits are very funny because there's so many characters in this that the names just fly by.
Pow, 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 pow. Well, that's everyone.
Yeah. God, that was really funny. But the actual story opens with the like picking up right after Turn Left, where the doctor had heard the name Bad Wolf and thought it was the end of the universe. And so the doctor runs out onto modern day London and finds that everything's okay. But then when he goes back in, and then there's some shaking, and he pops his head out, and the Earth's gone.
Well, the one guy is crying over his milk spilling.
And the tiles on the roof are falling down. I really enjoy that moment where it's like, yeah, the TARDIS is in a fixed position. The Earth, everything beneath us is gone. The entire planet is gone, but the TARDIS is just sitting right where it was. Because when you think about it, the TARDIS has such a weird relationship with the universe itself,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that it travels through both space and time. So there is a part of it where it's like, yeah, it probably doesn't really land on something. It just lands where something happens to be.
Yeah. Well, especially if you look into, figuratively speaking, like the fabric of space and time, and if everything is planted on some kind of grid,
mm-hmm.
then the TARDIS is sitting on some point in the grid that is the entire universe.
Yeah, and so...
I would not be surprised if at some point the TARDIS phases halfway into streets, kind of like a poorly rendered car.
I mean, we did see that one time the TARDIS parked between two dumpsters
and yeah.
he just couldn't get out.
But like, you know, when you're starting a game and you accidentally like have your character jump into a rock.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be able to jump into the rock, but yet here they are now. There was one time I was playing Baldur's Gate and the camera was stuck on a stalagmite, right? From the ceiling. Miter-tite.
I think stalactite are from the top.
Yeah. There was one point I was playing Baldur's Gate and the camera got stuck on a stalactite and I could not get the camera to move away from that stalactite. So I had to leave and then come back into that zone again.
Wow.
Yeah. Unrelated at all. I just like the idea of the TARDIS getting stuck inside of a rock. Moving on.
I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but there is a 12th Doctor story that plays with the TARDIS in a way I think you'll enjoy.
Oh, fun.
If and when we get there. Immediately cut to Martha, who's working with UNIT in New York, in Manhattan. And I really enjoy this moment where after the Earth is transported, you hear someone go, "Martha, look at the sky." I don't remember the exact terminology, but I feel like they were doing a callback to Martha's first episode where she was in the hospital and went to the moon. And they also wanted her to look up at the sky and see that they were no longer where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt kind of like a neat way to bring her back in, especially if you'd kind of tuned out for a little bit. But you remember Martha's first episode. It's a good like, oh, right. That's who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, then we take a look at Torchwood and we get a look at their little like underground sewer set.
Yeah. Their like subway.
Yeah. Train station.
Yeah.
I will admit I wasn't super into Torchwood. I wasn't really into either of the spinoffs. So they're not really strongly in my memory banks. That's why we haven't really talked about them because I feel like it would be disingenuous of me to talk about them.
I mean, we don't have to talk about them.
Yeah. So, but we meet
only K-9.
But we meet Ianto and Gwen. Gwen played by the same actress who played the maid from The Unquiet Dead.
Do you have family in Cardiff since like the 1800s?
Yeah. Which I don't know how that happens because that maid died. She got full of gas ghosts and blew herself up.
I mean, they said family. They didn't say, is your mom? She could have had a sister.
Yeah, I guess that's
true.
Or an
aunt or something.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And then we see Sarah Jane Smith and her son, Luke, and Mr. Smith, who is just a computer that lives in their chimney.
Yeah, is their version of Friday.
Yeah, they're Jarvis.
Jarvis, thank you.
And of course, I guess K-9's just hiding in the pillows somewhere.
K-9's an old dog.
And so they all
he's probably taking a nap in a sunbeam.
All of these shows are panicking over the fact that the Earth has moved. Meanwhile, the Doctor decides, hey, we're going to go take you to see the Shadow Proclamation.
Well, because he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And he can't find Earth.
It is kind of
Earth exists in a pocket dimension, which I dubbed all 27 planets in God's pocket.
God's pocket.
Which I said as a joke, and then they said pocket dimension, and I went, oh.
Yeah.
I was correct.
In a way, yeah. They go to the Shadow Proclamation, who they basically explain are space cops, which really is just a...
Space cops, also featuring not Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, Temu Swinton.
Yeah.
They're investigating the missing planets, and they find out that when you put all 27 planets together in their simulation, for some reason, they're not...
It's 26 planets and one moon.
Yeah, the lost moon of Poosh.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm sure they made the Doctor say just so David Tennant could keep going, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that was really interesting when the Daleks first show up on Earth, they don't show them first. You just get a broadcast of the aliens coming down, and you just hear them say exterminate, and everybody's freaking the fuck out.
Well, everybody who knows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the people who didn't know were already rioting, but the people that do know, you see, like, Elizabeth Sladen specifically, as Sarah Jane Smith, looks like she is, like, her life is flashing before her eyes, and she is, like,
has PTSD.
Yeah, like, that's some, well, I mean, the actress is selling it.
PTS Dalek.
Post-extermination stress disorder. And even Captain Jack's like, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do, we're gonna die. And he just kisses both Yanto and Gwen on the head. Like the bi icon he is.
What lucky heads.
What lucky heads. Meanwhile, Rose is wandering around the streets with a gun the size of her.
Yeah, with the beefiest Nerf gun. That's the kind you take when you know you're going to your brother's house and he just got new Nerf guns.
Yeah, there's
one in every room. That's how you protect yourself.
There's a scene where she's like, where she starts to hear some of the broadcasts as she steps into a store that's being looted, and she tells them,
right, you two, you can put that stuff down or run for your lives.
And I'm like, don't you mean and? They should put the stuff down and run for their life.
Yeah.
Then she cocks it and goes, do you like my gun? And I'm like, I really feel like you should already be pointing that at them, because otherwise I feel like that gun is big and clunky enough. They would not, they might even still try.
I mean, that's paid at straws, Zachary. Yeah, right.
That's fair. That is some real grasping at straws. But I don't know. There was something about it where I'm just like, point it at them.
Do you realize, though, how excited NASA would be if Earth appeared in a time pocket with 25 planets and one satellite?
Hang on.
Is close enough that they could jump there, like that they could send a rocket there so fast.
The scientist was like, we got to take 26 small steps. Come on, everybody.
Yeah, geez, Louise. I just wrote down NASA would cream its jeans.
Well, especially because if they had started doing that, could you imagine, like, at the end of that day, they're on one of the planets and all the planets have started teleporting back. And he's like, oh, no, I don't know how to get home from here.
Yeah, you live there now.
I'm on the lost moon of Poosh.
Yeah, you live there now.
I call this moon Dave, after me, Dave the astronaut.
You know, our Dave the astronaut's really going to like that joke.
Assuming he listens to this episode.
And
speaking of Dave, we have Dave Ross on the Dalek ship, which let's break down some
of
this.
Is that like actually Dave Ross, though?
No, his name is Dav Ross. I was just being stupid.
Is that what I mean, though, is like, is that Dav Ross is the. Do we know who's performing Davros?
It isn't the same actor that did in the classic series. Okay,
that's what I was getting.
You know, it is a different actor. And I honestly, I would have to look. I could look something up to be sure. But even if that actor was still alive, I'm certain he would be too old to play that part now.
Who's the voice performer for Daleks?
Nicholas Briggs.
Could it be him?
No, it is not. The guy playing Davros is a man by the name of Julian Bleach.
Mm. I was going to say, he looks so much like the classic series. Yeah, dummy, it's makeup.
Yeah, the makeup job they do on Davros is really good, though.
It's, like, very theatrical just in how dark the, like, shadows are and how, like, there was a lot of texture, like, where his eye sockets should be. But it was also done in such a way where it wasn't distracting.
Yeah. Also, I think part of it is that
they keep him in shadows a lot too.
They keep him in shadows a lot. I also think that they did something with his teeth.
Yeah.
That they didn't do in the original series, in the classic series.
They either gave him some kind of like mouth guard, like something, or they just go over it with, it depends on what production. Sometimes it's just squid ink.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, it's a technique that they do a lot in like pirate movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's so many shots where he has his mouth just completely open,
yeah,
that is something that is like a dye that is temporarily coloring this actor's teeth and parts of the inside of his mouth.
And a good way that they introduce him too, because they don't just like show him like rolling out.
They just show him
hands. They show his hands. Specifically, they show his right hand. And you and I watched the Genesis of the Daleks. And if you remember, one of the things he was doing in that one was constantly tapping at his thing with his right hand.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember thinking, wow, listen to that sound.
That was one thing that was really interesting for me to watch, was seeing you recognize him just from the hand tapping.
Mm-hmm.
Like before we ever saw him. And obviously, you wouldn't have necessarily recognized the voice because it's not the same actor. Yeah, it's very close, but it felt to me like you had first put it together that that was Davros when you saw the hands, like, fingers tapping. So, you know, that's a great little connection. They found a way to do a through line for that character without being distracting, which is, you know, really fun.
And they only show his hand for, like, the first chunk of his dialogue, and then they pan out and show his torso, and then you see his face completely in shadow.
Yeah, you still.
But you don't need to see that much of his face, because he has this little glowing blue eye in the center of his forehead.
His Infinity Stone stuck in his forehead.
Yeah.
He's making a bunch of Marvel references today. There's two other characters that are on this, two other important Daleks that are on the ship. There's the Dalek Supreme, who speaks like this.
Yeah, the red one.
He's the red one. And I like that you could tell that he's in charge because he has a deep voice.
Yeah, and he's red.
And then we have Dalek Khan.
Jesus Christ.
You had mentioned in the first part.
Oh, my God.
In the middle
God.
Part here. That he's
Dalek Khan was so silly.
I was watching it from my notes like, oh, Cassie's going to love him.
I flew into the wild and fire. I danced and died thousand times.
Yeah. His maniacal laugh, his little tentacles just going fucking crazy.
The way that, because he's gone insane, they lean into how the Dalek puppet can't really move all that much. Like, it can flail its arms around, but it can't, like, look at things and emote. So because of that, it just sort of feeds into the idea that he has gone insane by the way he keeps looking at the sky.
I have seen it in the fire and the flame.
He's got the little
eternal
witchy laugh.
Eternal fire.
It's very much the I'm eating something I shouldn't right now. And I need everybody to know that I'm up to no good, but mm-hmm. I don't want to say what the no good is. That was Dalek Khan.
Yeah. Back at the police station, the doctor is telling Timu Swinton about, they're trying to figure out what's going on with the planets. And the doctor asks Donna if anything strange has been going on Earth. And she mentions that the bees have been disappearing, to which the doctor then reveals that the bees are aliens. And so they are all going back to their home planet. So I have a question for you regarding that.
Yeah.
Do you see, in your mind's eye, do you see the bees, like, just flying their little bee bodies off the earth?
Yeah.
And flying them all the way? Or do they, like, get in their little hives, and their hives are like little ships?
Oh, my God, that's even better.
Just a little honeybee hive with, like, honeycomb spitting out the butt of it. They launch off of trees.
Honestly, I do visualize honeybees just flying through space.
All like singing a song together, like they're all on a family road trip. You like jazz?
Actually, that would have been like.
And then, so back on Earth, the Daleks are rounding up all the humans to go somewhere. They don't explain where right away. And Wilf has the great idea of bringing along a paint gun.
Well, yeah, because they got one eye. So if you cover the eye, you have time to escape.
And I do like that for some reason the Daleks, like, because we remember seeing in the original Dalek that bullets would just, like, disappear when they came into view. But for some reason, they are totally unprepared for a paintball.
Dalek has no concept of art. Therefore, art, material, and supplies. That is completely alien to Dalek. Therefore, a paintball
Dalek has no concept of art supplies.
Yeah, you could take down Dalek with a bucket of paint.
Dalek has no concept of laser tag. Just all the different things you could shoot Daleks with.
My God, Dalek takes laser tag way too serious. All players have been exterminated. Dalek wins.
Just trying to think of what else you could shoot a Dalek with because they just couldn't Airsoft. Think of it.
Dalek has no concept of nerf or nothing.
Nerf is nothing.
Dalek has no concept of slingshot.
Oh my God. There's a squirrel throwing acorns at Dalek. What? Why? Stop it.
Exquirlinate.
Oh yeah, I forgot about my other joke. Or you could throw eggs at Dalek. Because Dalek has no concept of cooking. Egg stir and make.
That's how Dalek makes a boxed cake.
Egg stir and make.
One of my favorite moments is that when they're lining people up, one of the humans just like, hey, who are you telling us what to do? Go back to space, and throws a brick at them as they go back in their house. And the Daleks go, attack formation 7, which is apparently just a line of the three of them getting real
maximum
close to.
Maximum exterminate.
And then just blow up his house.
So Dalek has no concept of art supplies, but does have a concept of architecture. If they understand that brick means chaos.
Yeah. And then Wilf and his daughter run into a Dalek, and Wilf, good for him, man. Sharp aim, shoots a paintball right in the Dalek's eye.
I mean, he was a military man.
Yeah, that's still, it's still a small target. That's like hitting a marble.
Yeah.
But the Dalek, however, can just sort of boil the paint off. He just gets real mad. And it boils the paint right off.
Yeah, but then Jackie and Mickey come to the rescue.
Oh, no. This is when Rose comes to the rescue.
That's when Rose comes to the rescue. That's right, because they rescue Sarah Jane.
Yes, exactly. Rose uses her giant gun to blow up a Dalek.
Her step-on-me-mommy gun, yes.
Her step-on-me-mommy gun.
Yeah.
And Wilf takes Rose back to their place, where a sudden Zoom call starts up on the laptop.
Yeah, but they don't have a camera because those are naughty.
And she wouldn't let me get one because they're naughty. And so all the companions, along with Harriet Jones and Torchwood, start having a little Skype call where they discuss what to do. And this was a little touch that I liked is they said that the subwave network that they're using was developed by the Mr. Copper Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Copper was the name of the guy on the Titanic who had $1 million credit card or £1 million credit card.
Aha.
And so he used that to help develop the subway network. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's such a neat little throwaway line. Like they didn't need to put anything there, but it's a nice, just like, hey, the doctor helped with this too.
Yeah.
In his own way. And so they use their subwave network to make a phone call through the universe to find the doctor. But doing that phone call summons the Daleks to blow Harriet Jones up.
And her computer.
The doctor says something that I feel like I need to figure out a way to make it make sense in my head, where he says that basically they were kept a second out of sync with the rest of the universe.
Yeah. Which, I don't get it.
It's
I don't understand.
I think what they're going Zach. For is that basically, but so you, if you think of time as a big ball of wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah, I'm just resting my eyes. Don't mind me.
They are in the moment before more yarn can get added to that ball. They're in the spot the yarn will be, but they move forward before the yarn can loop around again. Yeah, it's I think that's what they're going for. It doesn't really matter. The point is pocket dimension. I don't know why they didn't just say pocket dimension.
Yeah.
It really felt like they were just trying a little too hard. After Harriet Jones gets zapped away, but the doctor gets pulled into the universe, the doctor gets to join the Skype chat. The doctor has entered the chat.
in place of Harriet Jones.
In place of Harriet Jones. And everyone's like super excited to see him, obviously, except for Rose, who's a little pissy that for some reason she still can't say hi.
Well, no, because she doesn't have a camera. My thing is, I think because presumably if she doesn't have a camera attached to the laptop she's using, there probably isn't a microphone either.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's also, I mean, but I will say I felt a little weird with the way Rose was reacting to all the other companions.
Oh, I loved it. I love a petty bitch.
Where she was just like, who the hell is she? When Martha Jones pops up, I'm like, Rose, there are bigger things happening right now than these little squabbles.
No, I loved it.
Like, some perspective, please, honey.
No, I love a petty little girl, Petty Rose. My note is Petty Rose, all I was there first.
Yeah, and then Davros interrupts the call to scare the bejesus out of everybody, especially Sarah Jane, because Sarah Jane was there for Genesis of the Daleks. Which, another fun little, like, way to tie those things together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that stuck with us the most was that Davros apparently grew these Daleks from cells of his own body. And he peels off his shirt to just reveal his open rib cage.
Jeez. It's so gross. It's so cool.
It is a fun idea. I also just like...
Ew, neat.
You neat.
I can't look away. It's so gross.
And that means that the doctor definitely has to get the band back together so they can
get the band back together.
get the. Oh. So the doctor lands in London, apparently on the exact street Rose is walking down right now.
Ah.
And
good.
They turn to each other and just start doing that. You know, run into each other in slow motion thing.
Tumblr girlies were going nuts.
Until a Dalek's like, hey, wait, I'm here too. Can I
get... Surprise, bitches!
Surprise, motherfucker!
Exterminate now?
Oh, what a cute moment. Would be a shame if I exterminated right now.
How sweet. Family reunion. Too bad. You won't get a plus one.
The Dalek, for some reason, is really obsessed with it, like, a one-liner off.
Yeah.
We call this a shot to the heart.
And I'm to blame.
Daleks have no concept of giving love a bad name.
Thank you. I am mad that I said doctor at one point and then I was... I backpedaled. I still stand by my response. I understand where it came from.
Yeah, I feel like Donna was a very wise choice. I feel like you also could have said Jack. Because, I mean, that happens on the second episode. I wouldn't have counted it, but...
I could have argued it because you also gave me a question for...
Yeah, that's fair.
Second episode, which I was incorrect. Dalek does not change their clothes. Dalek does, in fact, speak German now.
Exterminieren! Exterminieren! I was so looking forward to you hearing that. You were like, what would change it? What could possibly change about a Dalek in Germany?
I don't think if I had said Dalek learned to sing, specifically the German song, I could have wiggled myself.
I was sitting here like when you were going, Ich bin ein Dalek. I was like, you're so close. Just say it. Just say the Dalek speaks German now.
No, I thought that they were all going to get matching uniforms. Not matching uniforms, like they were all going to have some unifying.
Like, this is a different,
like, if they were all red Daleks, like that's more or less what I meant.
Yeah, this is a different battalion that's going in this different direction. Yeah, I totally get the thinking there. I think it's a really, like, thought out idea. I just was looking forward to you hearing exterminating. Yes, the doctor is the one who gets shot and he starts regenerating in the TARDIS until he decides, hey,
I'm going to give myself a high five
and zaps all of it, pours all of the tang coming out of his body directly into his hand.
Yeah, all of his pixie dust,
all of his Metamucil, pours it directly into his hand and then is like, there we go. All good. use the regeneration energy to make myself all better. So this is sort of a long-term prophecy for you, I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Related to this moment. So I told you once that a Time Lord only gets 13 regenerations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're obviously on 10. Do you think that used up one of them?
Oh, interesting. Because it wasn't a full regeneration.
Yeah, he just used the energy to heal.
I think it does count.
I think it does count.
Because it is regeneration energy that he's using.
Okay, so technically speaking, that makes this current 10 at the 11th Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
In a fun little thought experiment for you.
Well, yeah, but then I also know that there are more after this.
Yeah, I mean, but it also lets you know when they will have to address that as a story beat.
Gotcha.
So I'm just putting that little nugget in there, letting you think about it a little bit longer.
Should I write it down?
Yeah, if you want to. I do like that part of his justification for pouring the energy into the hand instead of just regenerating is that he just doesn't want to. Because look at me. It's the first time I think the Doctor, or at least Tennant's Doctor specifically, has acknowledged that he is handsome. Usually it's other people doing that for him. What a vain little princess.
Oh, no. Like, I definitely think that the Doctor has I'm so cute energy. So I'm so little. Look at me.
I'm just a little guy.
I'm only like 5 feet tall. I'm just so small. I'm so little.
And so Sarah Jane was about to be shot by the Daleks in her car until Mickey and Jackie teleport from the parallel dimension and with their laser tag little circles.
Yeah, and Jackie's there only because she didn't want Rose to be all alone. And also, Jackie just didn't want to be left out.
And meanwhile, Pete's somewhere just like, I'm watching this fucking baby. They're all saving the multiverse.
We named the baby Doctor. Really? Nah, his name's Tony.
Tony Tyler.
Tony Tyler's a very good name.
And so as we mentioned, also Martha meets the German Daleks, exterminieren.
I'll never get over them.
I really need to like sit down and translate what they say, because I'm sure there's something fun in there.
Just we speak German now.
So you do get the point for hand stuff, because that is exactly how he.
Yeah, I don't think I could have. I wouldn't have been able to break down exactly how.
Yeah, there was so much there that I was like, I don't want to even try.
And after watching it and having it explained to me now 4 different times, still don't fully understand how it happens.
Yeah, like I said, and I never expected you to actually like get the full details.
Because if I said the Doctor's hand turns him into a lizard, he starfishes his way into a second body.
Like I said, I certainly would not have expected you to get, like, I might have thought you would say he puts the regeneration energy in the hand.
Wouldn't have said
that. That might have been the closest that you would get. I would never have thought that you could guess, like, and then the hand regenerates into a clone of David Tennant.
And then David Tennant clone and Catherine Tate Donna clone, they're half of each other.
Yeah, I never would have expected you to get that part. That's why hand stuff was perfectly acceptable.
He gets handsy.
The TARDIS gets taken up to the Dalek ship. And so the Doctor walks out of the TARDIS to talk to them, and then the TARDIS locks Donna in right before they shove the TARDIS into a perfectly TARDIS-sized hole.
They don't shove the TARDIS into a perfectly TARDIS-sized hole. They open a perfectly sized TARDIS trapdoor.
Yeah.
Whee! And send it down into TARDIS hell?
They send it into their core, which is full of Zed neutrino energy.
Sure.
Do you know what Zed neutrino energy is, Cassie?
It sounds like a cool cereal from the 90s.
You're exactly right. Frosted Flakes now with Zed neutrino energy.
Mm-mm-mm. It's what athletes prefer.
It's what the plants crave. And I do really like this beat that they have where as the TARDIS is being thrown into the core and basically being set on fire, for lack of a better term, as it disappears and the Doctor thinks the TARDIS and Donna are gone, the Supreme Dalek is, do you feel anger, despair? Well, then if emotions are so important, surely we have enhanced you. Because that is a large part of, like, why the Daleks haven't killed the Doctor, is they want to prove they are superior.
It's just the Daleks being petty.
Yeah.
Cruel and petty.
And so I really appreciate that little moment where they're just, like, reminding you
why they suck. Yes.
Yeah. There's a pride to them that surpasses even emotion. Like, it's just like an almost biological demand to prove their superiority.
It's just Dalek superior saying, "I told you so."
Meanwhile, in the TARDIS, Donna touches the hand, is looking for a hand to hold in this trying time.
Yeah, as she is slowly melting and being lit on fire.
Yeah, and then the tang spurts out and envelops the hand and Donna, and the hand grows into a second David Tennant.
Yeah, he lizards himself a new body.
Yeah, he, and I like that. I do appreciate that when he generates, he regenerates naked. Especially knowing that the floor of the TARDIS is made of metal. That had to be very cold.
I thought it was kind of hot, but that's just me.
Someone writhing on the floor naked was very hot to you? What a surprise. Martha goes to a castle to restart the Osterhagen process. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Rose are brought down to the vault to see Davros, where the Doctor realizes that the vault is not like a fancy place. The vault is a prison. So Davros is not, like, in charge. He is their pet.
Yep.
If it wasn't the Daleks, that would feel problematic that they decided, make the man in the wheelchair our pet.
Shh. Put him down ground level so he has an easier time rolling around.
Yeah, there's a part of it where I'm just like, man, if these weren't space Nazis, this would be a problem. But because they're space Nazis, it makes total sense.
They even call out that he's their pet, and Davros goes, no.
We have an arrangement.
Yeah, where you're the fucking pet.
We you have an created arrangement. Them. They bring me food and I let them scratch my head.
You made them out of your own biomatter. You are missing so much skin. And they let you live because they are made of you.
Yeah, because they need, because if they need to make more of them, they just come in and scoop out your armpits.
Meanwhile, Dalek Khan is just kicking his little feet.
I don't need to go through the whole shenanigan of how they got there, but Mickey and Jackie had saved Sarah, and as a result, the three of them together wind up on the Dalek ship, ready to lined up in a big pool in what they call the Crucible. And
it's specifically Sarah saying this is the only way that we're going to get up to the Doctor.
Yeah. And so the Daleks have these humans pooled together under the Crucible to test their reality bomb, which is mostly funny. The part of it that's funny is that Davros is the one saying, "Activate the reality bomb," and I'm like, "Dude, you're the pet here.
Yeah,
they're not going to listen to you." This is like the cat walking in and pushing the button for like. Those pet owners that have, like, bells for when their pet wants food.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry. Hungry. It is 10 a.m.
Yeah, that's what Davros is doing, is Davros is demanding they activate the reality bomb, but Supreme Dalek is
outside.
Like, Supreme Dalek is just like, okay, but because I want it, not because it's what you said.
Bomb. Explode. Explode.
Thanos, snap. Thanos, snap. Because that is what the reality bomb does.
Reality. Bye-bye.
Because it really is almost like identically the same effect. I mean, Infinity Wars was much more polished by the fact that it had the budget to actually turn them into literal flakes. But it's still the... Davros describes it as
people and planets and stars will become dust, and the dust will become atoms, and the atoms will become nothing.
Which, I don't know about you, but that description, especially from that delivery, made my skin crawl. To stop the reality bomb from going off, Martha has her plan with the Osterhagen, which is apparently a series of
25 nuclear warheads.
Yes, designed to blow the planet up. Meanwhile, Sarah Jane's like, hey, I've got this really pretty diamond that's secretly a bomb.
Well, because the nuclear warheads are intended to blow the planet up, because if the human race is in danger, and especially in this moment right now, if they need all 27 planets, if Earth were to be conveniently blown up,
they would suddenly be missing an important piece of their engine. And so as they're talking about this, Davros makes the point that, look at, like, we talked about this before, where Davros had said, look, all the people you associate with are killers. You don't carry a gun. You don't carry a weapon. You turn the people that you surround yourself with into weapons. Which is...
he's kind of got a point, though.
Yeah.
Like, that was the... like, that's the most upsetting part about this episode is... Davros is insane.
Yes.
Dalek Khan is crazy. But at certain points, both of them kind of started making sense.
Yeah, and it shows that they view victory not just as an end goal, but as a process, because Davros even says, this is my victory. I have shown you yourself.
Yeah, because the doctor is not making clones of himself. He's not making, in, you know, Davros's case, he's making more Dalek.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor's not making Daleks. He's not trying to make more Time Lords. But at the same time, having companions and showing people the ins and outs of the universe, he is making miniature versions of himself, or is the way that they dub them, his children of time.
Yeah, and there's something to be said of the fact that the Doctor's presence makes these humans braver. But the problem with their bravery is the Doctor will bring them into these battle zones. Not necessarily intentionally, but because where his moral compass drives him, he always feels the need to save the day. But in doing so, creates other people who want to save the day. And the only way that they know how to do it is violence. Sacrifice. Because they don't have the brain the Doctor does.
Well, through violence, or in some cases through sacrifice.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a part of it where it's like, yeah, he's absolutely right. He has removed the parts of his. Reduce their cowardice, but in doing so have made them more prone to hurt or to be hurt. So to stop them, the Daleks do the very wise thing of just teleporting them into the prison as well.
Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them.
And as all looks hopeless, Doctor.
Yeah.
He shows up with a gun that's designed to blow the Daleks up by connecting them to Davros's DNA. I don't feel like it's immediately very obvious that there is something wrong with the Metacrisis Doctor. But there is a part of it where, when you really think back about it, like, the Doctor hates guns. And this guy's first idea is, I'm going to build a really fancy gun.
I thought it was a decoy gun.
There's a chance that it is.
Because they've done that before, where they've done something that is explicitly a decoy. So that way the real plan can happen. That my understanding was that this gun was just a distraction, so that way
psychonetically
enhanced Donna can go in and do what she actually needs to do to destroy all Dalek.
Yeah, I don't know if it is, it's never explicitly said. I could certainly see a world where Metacrisis Doctor knows that that's what's going on, that he just needs something to zap Donna more alert. But I don't know if that's absolutely true or if that's just something that feels right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Doctor just goes, like, running towards him with his gun, and he gets zapped in the heart and put into a cage. And then Donna does the same thing, running out to try and stop him with the gun. And Davros zaps her too. But that zap activates what they call the Dr. Donna, which is Donna with the Doctor's brain.
Mm-hmm. Half human, half Time Lord.
And they have some good, fun moments mixing with that, starting with David Tennant sounding like Catherine Tate going, oi!
Oi, watch it, spaceman!
Oi, watch it, Earth girl! Oh. I don't know you. I don't know.
also rough.
Oi!
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 Spanish!
Oi, 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 oi. That's really the only thing they really make them say. But, you know, it works. It's a little bit. But then Donna, when she becomes the Doctor Donna, starts talking like the Doctor, not just in like the technical jargon, but there's
the speed in which she talks.
The speed in which she talks. She throws in a couple of lines that only that really only David Tennant's Doctor uses, which is interesting.
All except one. They never say Alonzi.
Yeah, they never say Alonzi or Avanti or any other sort of let's go. I know you've been really a big fan of the super temp stuff that they've thrown in Donna.
Yeah,
today.
Super temp. She can type 100 words a minute. Say,
this is like the maximum of that, where it's like, in addition to my big, big brain, I can still type really fast and you give me a keyboard to work with. Never mind that this keyboard looks like a series of bike locks.
Yeah, this keyboard has 4 pedals. But, you know, let's go with it.
As Donna now has control over the Daleks, they get to have some real fun with them. Starting
like spinning around. It was very Alice in Wonderland spinning teacups.
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, they put them all in the teacups rides. And then she has like, and then her next great idea is to just keep them spinning, but the other way.
Yep.
The Daleks inside are like, help. I'm going.
No, they do at one point just go, help me. Help me.
I'm going to expectorate.
Which there is something so silly to me. That you are a killer robot. You are so scary. You're being taken down by spinning.
And Dalek Khan's just in his little corner going,
I saw all of this happening.
Look at them spin. You know, they find out that Dalek Khan betrayed them. So the Supreme Dalek comes down to kill them all. But instead,
slips on a banana peel.
It slips on a banana peel. That banana peel being Jack Harkness's big gun.
Oh, you're talking about his actual gun. My bad. So you're talking about his shoes.
And as the Dalek ship is coming down, coming all on fire, they start sending the planets back. And then Davros, and as they try to escape, Davros goes, I dub you the destroyer of worlds. Which, the Doctor didn't destroy any worlds.
He's destroying your world, Davros, but that's also because your world sucks. Like, he put all the other worlds back.
Yeah, he put the other worlds back. I mean, I could see him being the great exterminator. Like, that would be something really fascinating to call the Doctor. Destroyer of Worlds felt really kind of out of nowhere.
A little out of pocket.
Yeah. Like, not one of your better lines, Davros. You were doing better with I show you yourself.
Yeah, that, ooh, youch.
Yeah, that was a good
ouchie,
one.
Ouchie, ouch, that one hurt.
You know, I get it. So, like, that was probably the one you practiced in the mirror. But when you...
Do you think Davros had a journal of, this is what I will say to the Doctor when I see him again?
And when I say... And so when I show him that his allies have all turned into killers, I will say, I will show you yourself. But if something goes horribly wrong, I still want to make a little dig at him. So I'm going to call him the Destroyer of Farts. No, that doesn't work. I'll workshop it.
The Destroyer of Dalek. No, too specific.
He'll take pride in that.
Destroyer of Worlds. Ooh, the thing he cares most about. Other worlds.
I will show him. Now, time to not brush my teeth before going to bed.
Does he have a bed, or does he just kind of power down in the chair?
He just sleeps in the chair.
Yeah, he like leans the seat back.
Like, what's
like that? Me in my Kia.
The Metacrisis Doctor specifically then backfeeds the something of the Dalekanium that makes all the Daleks explode, which makes the Doctor very mad. The Metacrisis Doctor specifically calls that action fulfilling the prophecy.
I think that's what Dalek Khan is calling it, though.
Yeah, Dalek Khan is the one giving the prophecy.
Oh.
The Metacrisis Doctor then says, I'm fulfilling the prophecy. And I'm like, what?
It's a prophecy you found out about, but moments ago.
I went, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm gonna fulfill the prophecy. Boom. And as they're leaving, Dalek Khan is like, one will still die.
I really wanted the doctor to run over and put him in a little fish tank.
That was how we found them in Genesis of the Daleks. If you remember, they were little squids and fish in little tanks.
Yeah.
They have transported back 26 of the 27 planets, or as the doctor puts it, well, you can guess which one is still there. It's Earth.
I thought it was Poosh.
The lost moon of Poosh. So the doctor has the great idea of basically like using the TARDIS as a leash to drag the Earth back to where it's supposed to go. And I do like this little touch where because all of his companions are in the TARDIS, the TARDIS can be flown as it's meant to with six pilots, because the TARDIS is like does have this little hexagonal motif to it and always has.
Mm-hmm.
Since the classic series, it's had that, you know, hexagonal console. So it absolutely makes sense that the TARDIS should be flown by multiple pilots. And it's nice that those pilots are his companions, and he's not even one of them. He's just like walking around making sure they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing. So in order to get the energy they need to tow the TARDIS, basically like to set up the hook between the TARDIS and the Earth, the Doctor needs a little bit of energy coming from Mr. Smith and from Torchwood. Mm-hmm. Mr. Smith needs calculations. Where's he going to get calculations from, Cassie?
Well, it's going to take too long. It's going to take too long to get those numbers.
Until the real hero shows up.
K-9, out you come.
Affirmative, mistress.
That is correct.
Affirmative.
Mistress.
Yeah, so it supplies it with the TARDIS's base code. It's so like nothing. They didn't need to do it, but it's
bullshit,
just nice.
Bullshit.
It's just nice.
K-9.
Yeah. Says, Mr. Smith, can you please summon K-9 for a little cameo? Affirmative.
He was just snoozing in a pile of boxes.
And so they tow the Earth back into place. There's so much science jargon in there where they said, yeah, there's like a shell keeping the atmosphere and the heat in place.
Oh, whatever.
I do kind of wonder if, you know, as they were being towed, all the buildings and stuff were shaking. I do kind of wonder if just somewhere in space, some stuff flew off. Like there's just someone's car rolling in space.
What's the hot tallest building?
The Burj Khalifa?
Yeah. Just the very tip of that.
NASA was getting ready to do one of those trips that you wanted them to make, and so that ship is just like spinning loosely.
What is it? The Stratosphere roller coaster at the top of that hotel in Las Vegas. That's also just spinning around in space.
With the Earth now back in place, it is time to send the companions all on their way. To which Sarah Jane's like, you keep acting like you're this lonely man, but you've got the biggest family on Earth. I mean, there's like seven people in there. No one's got a family bigger than seven people.
Mm-mm, ain't nobody got a family bigger than seven.
Meanwhile, I work with someone who has six kids, so his family has eight people in it. Like just and that's just his house, not even talking about his extended family. Mm-hmm. But so Sarah Jane, I'm just like, come on, girl.
Well, I think the point is like, it's the same point that I feel like a lot of friends, like very dear old friends, make.
Mm-hmm.
When they find out that you aren't feeling too good. And they're like, you're never alone. Like, I'm always here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's just trying to reassure him, but there is a part of it where just like her phrasing of it in particular was silly. But then
and she goes, oh, I have a 14-year-old at home.
Yeah. I like that the doctor also re-disables Jack's teleportation device.
Like, he's just going to do it again.
Yeah, I'll figure out a way. He's a silly boy like
he's
that.
He's a scamp.
And Mickey's like, yeah, my grandma died, so nothing really waiting for me on the parallel Earth anymore. I'm like, what are
like,
you?
Like, dude, didn't you have other friends?
More importantly, didn't your grandma lived in a mansion? Doesn't that mean you have a mansion? Now you're going to an Earth where you theoretically have no money. Like, I'm not saying money is the end-all be-all, but I'm just saying, you have nothing.
Well, yeah, but he can chase after Captain Jack and Martha.
Yeah, he can go hang out with them for a little bit.
Because they're best buds, I guess.
Yeah. Who I don't think. I mean, Mickey and Jack have obviously met one another. And Jack and Martha have met. But Mickey and Martha have not met at all.
Mm-mm.
So they're going to go get coffee.
Well, yeah, because they're the two black members of the cast. Certainly they'll be friends and hang out.
Well, Martha's engaged, so Mickey needs to watch where he's putting
that. He has a thing for women who are interested in other people.
They went to go trauma bond. That's what they're doing.
Over the doctor.
Over the stuff they just went through that day. And then they decide to take Rose and Jackie back to Bad Wolf Bay.
In Norway.
On the parallel Earth. Which Jackie's happy with because her baby is there.
And her husband.
Right. That wasn't who I was talking about. I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah. And her husband and her baby are there. But Rose is very mad.
I traveled so far to find you. And the doctor.
I built a dimension cannon and put myself in it.
And the doctor goes, here, you can have this one. He's me before you met me.
Yeah, he is like
he's made of all my rage and anger.
Yeah, that was me when we first met, which feels like which is clearly a reference to Eccleston.
Yeah,
which does make me wonder if that would have been more interesting is if instead of being left with Tennant, she would have been left with.
I mean, it technically was Tennant's hand that had caused that, and so it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made a lick of sense, but you know, it's just one of
the personality though of Tennant is alive and well in that. Doctor and an affinity for tea. Hot tea. That'll wake you up after a.
Still mad about it after all these seasons.
Yes. I'll die angry, Zach. I have a thing for petty bitches. Let me be one.
And so you were talking about the Tumblr girlies.
Oh my God.
This moment of. I've got all the same thoughts, but I've only got one heart, so I'll age like a human. I can only have one life, and I can spend it with you if you want.
You know, the doctor's like, "If you want," as he's twiddling his thumbs and kicking his little feet. Not really. That's how it felt, though.
You know, meanwhile, the doctor's like, "All right, guys, I'm out. Peace."
TARDIS is time. Time is closing. The rift. Gotta go. Goodbye.
See you guys. Maybe Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have that in the UK. Sorry. Bye, guys. And Rose is like, no. You're giving me him, but you're the doctor.
What did you say? What did you say the last time we were on this beach?
And the doctor's
you
like,
said Rose Tyler. What were you going to say after that?
I said Rose Tyler. That's what I said.
Does it need to be said?
Yeah. Does it need saying? Which I'm sure there were some Tumblr girlies going, come the fuck on.
Her? Yes.
But then the other doctor, the Metacrisis doctor, leans in and whispers something into her ear. And whatever he whispered must have been a good aphrodisiac, because her immediate response is to pull him in for a big old smooch.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Tumblr girlies, a.k.a. me. In that moment was very happy that was the payoff.
It does feel like the conclusion to that story.
Yes. Is it a little like crowd pleasing? Yeah. I don't care though.
And so as they leave, Donna starts thinking about places she wants to go. She has these planets in her head that she's never been to. However,
She starts to glitch.
Yeah, having all the Time Lord memory, all those having Time Lord knowledge in her head is too much for a human mind to really bear.
You know you can fix that chameleon circuit if you just tried hotbinding the fragment links and superseding the binary, 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 binary. I'm fine.
And so the only way to fix it is to wipe her mind of all the memories of the Doctor and the TARDIS in what is probably the most heartbreaking ending to a companion story.
Yeah. And it wasn't.
And I include that among. So one of the Fifth Doctor companions fucking dies. Incredible. Like that's the way his story ends, is by dying. So I really.
There is something worse, though, to. Having your memories completely lost.
Yeah, not just your memory, but your personality. She is undone. Like all the
undone.
All the progress she made since meeting the Doctor all the way back to the Runaway Bride.
Well, because Wilf even says she's better with you.
Yeah.
She's better because of you.
And you could see Donna knows that too. Like she doesn't say it. But the look in her eyes as the Doctor has to like wipe her mind.
Well, because up until this point, too, every time that somebody says, you're different, you're special, she doesn't believe it. And then for one moment, she finally does. And she finally understands why she's different and special. And then that gets immediately taken from her.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to get taken away from her or else she will die.
Yeah. Like she'll her brain will burn.
Which, you know, it's a common, like, would you rather die a hero or do you go back? And in this particular case, it's do you go back to how you were before and continue to live your life?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a cruel thing to do to her mother and to her grandfather, to say, yes, she died doing what she loved, when there is an option that keeps her living.
Yeah. And Wilf in particular seems really, I mean, her mom does the, you know, she makes the very strong point, like, of course she's important. She is my daughter, which, you know, that's a really nice motherly moment.
Yeah.
But Wilf is making the important distinction that she grew as a person with the doctor. She became better as a person, and now she isn't anymore. As you could see by the fact that when she's calling, she's being kind of nasty
mm-hmm.
and crass and flippant to the doctor. Like, she does not.
I mean, she's polite enough to introduce herself.
Yeah. But even then, the politeness is, hey, and she goes to her phone just to really milk this moment. When they step outside, it's pouring rain out and the doctor has to sit there and ruin his perfectly gelled hair as the rain comes pouring down on him.
Yeah, and Wilf has this monologue then about how, you know, at night, like, I'll still look for you. I'll look up at the sky and I'll do that for her.
Yeah. And it's...
There are very few things in the show that have made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them.
That, like I said, it's probably the strongest finale that Russell T. Davies wrote, mainly because while there's some, Russell T. Davies tends to lean a little too hard into psychobabble bullshit. And this episode certainly has it, but it doesn't get in the way of the emotional payoff.
Well, because it's
emotional resonance is probably a better term.
It's really kind of wonderful that we do get a nice happy ending with Rose. No, she's not getting her doctor back, but she's getting a version of her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's, what are they going to do otherwise? Kill it? Like, no. Might as well let this version of the doctor live on this version of Earth with Rose, somebody who he deeply loves and cares about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really sad that you don't get any kind of compromise that benefits Donna.
Yeah.
Like, the compromise for her is, I mean, I guess there is a compromise. The benefit is she gets to live.
Yeah. But she doesn't get to be the Donna that we've come to know.
And she doesn't even get to, like, oh, well, good, you can become a companion all over again.
Yeah. She can't know about the doctor.
No, he's John Smith to her.
Yeah. And she doesn't, and she'll have
to be. The rest will just be stories.
Yeah, she'll have to go back to being the person that misses everything.
God, that's so sad.
Yep. And then just to really cap off that, not immediately after, but a few months after the story came out, David Tennant announced his departure from the show.
Oh, God.
He said he was.
The internet went mad.
he has a series of specials starting with the next Christmas special. And there's two specials after that. And then the final Christmas special is his final story. And the next one, the first special that he does is the Christmas special. And it's called The Next Doctor.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Cheeky.
We'll find out a little bit about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
My tummy hurts. This episode made my tummy hurt.
See? I told you there'd be a jump scare. And there will also be another episode next week. So be sure you subscribe to this podcast so you can be here for the next Doctor. Please give us a like or 5 stars to help the algorithm lead us to other Whovians out there. And you can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPOD. That's WIMDPOD. I'm probably going to be running some polls on social media soon just to gauge feelings about what you guys have liked and disliked about this first year we've had. It's pretty wild to think that we're just a few weeks away from our first anniversary. But before that, there's next Tuesday, because Tuesdays are now Whose Days. And possibly Booze Days, too. Did it get you? I bet it got you. Jeff.